Hare Krishna, thank you for giving me this wonderful opportunity to join you in glorifying His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, my beloved spiritual master and our beloved founder Acharya. I will read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 2, Text 23. Which reminds me of Srila Prabhupada. Aho bhakiyam stanakalakutam jigam sayapayayad apyasadvi lebegatim datruchitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam brajema. Translation. Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he, who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and she prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is an example of the supreme mercy of the Lord, even to his enemy. It is said that a nobleman accepts the good qualities of a person of doubtful character, just as one accepts nectar from a stock of poison. Lord Krishna accepted the mother of Putana because she pretended to be an affectionate mother, allowing Krishna to suck her breast. The Lord accepts the least qualification of the living entity and awards him the highest reward. That is the standard of his character. Therefore, who but the Lord can be the ultimate shelter? So this verse reminds me of Srila Prabhupada. How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he? There was no one more merciful than Srila Prabhupada. Lord Nityananda is most merciful, and Srila Prabhupada manifested the same quality of mercy as Nityananda Prabhu. When Srila Prabhupada was in Bombay, he received a phone call from the temple president in Calcutta, who reported that one of Prabhupada's earliest disciples from America had come to Calcutta and was smoking ganja, marijuana, and asked what to do. Prabhupada told his secretary to relay his response. Quote, "Tell him that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, I will reject him." End quote. Afterwards, Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, "Is it true that if he doesn't stop smoking ganja, you will reject him?" And Prabhupada replied, "No, I cannot reject anyone. The mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit." Then maybe 2 years later, we were in Juhu, and Srila Prabhupada had a disciple who fell into bad company and was living on Juhu Beach and doing yogic tricks. He was doing things like putting a penny or a paisa in his ear and then making it come out somewhere else. Different strange things to collect money. And he was known as a disciple of Prabhupada and a member of ISKCON. So Tamal Krishna Goswami approached Srila Prabhupada and said, "This is happening, and he's giving you a bad name and giving ISKCON a bad name. You should reject him." And again, Srila Prabhupada replied, "I cannot reject anyone." Tamal Krishna Goswami asked, "But don't you have to draw the line somewhere?" And again, Srila Prabhupada said, "The mercy of Lord Nityananda has no limit. How shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he?" Srila Prabhupada. Another person whom Srila Prabhupada encouraged was Dr. C.P. Patel, who would almost always accompany him on his morning walks on Juhu Beach. They had a friendly relationship, but Dr. Patel would sometimes speak like a Mayavadi. Prabhupada would accuse him, "You're a Mayavadi." And Dr. Patel would reply, "No, sir, I'm a Vaishnav, a pure Vaishnav." One morning, Dr. Patel and Srila Prabhupada had a huge argument. Dr. Patel would bring up different so-called holy men of India, and if they were not up to the standard, Srila Prabhupada would criticize them. So one morning, Srila Prabhupada was criticizing one of Dr. Patel's favorite, revered so-called saints of India. And Dr. Patel and he had a huge argument. Dr. Patel raised his voice to Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada raised his voice to Dr. Patel. They were literally shouting at each other. And Dr. Patel's friends, he had his cronies, were trying to pull him away, saying, "Don't upset Swamiji. He has a heart condition." And eventually they pulled him away. Back at Hare Krishna land, Tamal Krishna Goswami approached Srila Prabhupada in his room and asked, "What is Dr. Patel's position? Is he a Vaishnav or a Mayavadi, an impersonalist?" In response, Srila Prabhupada told a story about a man who could speak in many languages. In whatever language people addressed him, he could respond fluently. No one could figure out where the man was actually from. After much discussion, a neighbor said, "I will find out." So one day, when the man was preoccupied, the neighbor came up behind him and gave him a big whack. And when the man started to curse in his native tongue, his origin was disclosed. Dr. Patel is like that, Prabhupada said. He can speak very expertly. He can sound like a devotee, sound like a Vaishnav, sound like a Mayavadi, sound like anything. But when I gave him a slap where it really hurt, this so-called saintly person that he revered, his real language came out. "So why do you put up with him?" Tamal Krishna asks. "He's so offensive." "It is our duty to engage everyone," Prabhupada said. He wanted to give Dr. Patel a chance. And as the years passed, Dr. Patel developed great affection for Srila Prabhupada, and after Prabhupada left this world, wrote a beautiful article for Back to Godhead about his relationship with him. The article was titled, "My Life's Most Precious Moments," with the subtitle, "A Bombay Doctor Wins the Title Big Fool and Loves It." Because Prabhupada would always call Dr. Patel a muda. Prabhupada would say, "I am not saying, Krishna is saying, Imam Duskritino muda. Anyone who doesn't surrender to Krishna is a muda, fool." So how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he? Srila Prabhupada had so many wonderful qualities, but his most important quality, for us especially, was his extreme mercifulness. Srila Prabhupada had a good friend in Bombay named Bogilal Patel. Bogilal was elder to Srila Prabhupada by about 3 years, and he was extremely pious. The first devotee to meet him was Garga Muni. And when Garga Muni was explaining Srila Prabhupada's work, Bogilal Patel wept profuse tears of appreciation. One day, some years later, Bogilal Patel came to meet Srila Prabhupada at Prabhupada's flat at the back of Hare Krishna land. "I had a close relationship with Seth Bogilal, so I brought him up to meet Prabhupada. They were talking, and as is natural in a conversation, when Prabhupada was speaking, I would look at him. And when Bogilal was speaking, I would look at him. But at one stage, while Bogilal was speaking, I looked at Srila Prabhupada, which Srila Prabhupada wasn't expecting. And he was looking at me with such love and affection, like a father or a grandfather. By age, Srila Prabhupada was more like a grandfather. I was surprised that he was looking at me with so much love. But as soon as Srila Prabhupada saw me look at him, he changed his expression and became very grave and serious. I think it was some special mercy that I got a glimpse of how much love he had for us, which he didn't usually show very openly. His love was manifest for us in his care for us and his giving us the knowledge of Krishna consciousness and engaging us in Krishna's service. But Srila Prabhupada was very reserved. Yes, Srila Prabhupada was very reserved about touching people, including even his disciples. In 1971 in Gorakhpur, as guests of Hanuman Prasad Poddar of Gita Press, we were staying in Poddar's large estate, Sri Krishna Niketan, which had previously been his personal residence. Srila Prabhupada was traveling with his small Radhakrishna deities, and he wanted to establish an altar for them in Sri Krishna Niketan. He wanted some foliage for the altar, so he sent a couple of devotees, including me, to collect some. I went out to a thicket and was collecting branches with leaves. I wasn't tearing them live. I was looking for branches and leaves that had fallen. I just kept going deeper into the woods and collecting more and more foliage. And eventually I had a huge bundle, as much as I could possibly carry. So I was lugging the bundle up the stairs, and when I reached the temple room, Srila Prabhupada was there, and the altar was being set up. I dropped the bundle on the floor and offered my obeisances. And while I was on the floor, Prabhupada patted me on the back. It was one of the only times, maybe the only time, that he physically touched me. I looked up, and he was smiling broadly. I didn't know if he even needed any more foliage, but he was pleased by my effort. Now I ask you, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he? Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
हरे कृष्णा. सब पुणे के भक्तों का आज प्रभुपाद अपीयरेंस देखा है. कल प्रकट हुए हमारे भगवान कृष्ण जन्माष्टमी को और आज नंद उत्सव के दिन हमारे गुरुदेव प्रभुपाद प्रकट हुए. पहले भगवान आए, फिर उनके भक्त आए. प्रभुपाद जी का एक नाम नंदूलाल भी था, कि नंद उत्सव के दिन प्रभुपाद प्रकट हुए थे. मेरे प्यारे पूना निवासी भक्तों, एक भजन है वासु घोष ठाकुर का. यदि गौर ना होई तो तब की होई तो के मन धरिताम दे. राधार महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगती जानात के. अगर गौर भगवान नहीं होते तो फिर देह को धारण करने का मतलब क्या था. राधा जी की जो उज्ज्वल महिमा है, राधा जी की जो भक्ति या कृष्ण के प्रति, कौन बताता. इस भजन को मैंने चेंज किया है. यदि प्रभु पाद ना होई तो तभी की होई तो के मन धरिताम दे. भक्ति री महिमा प्रेम रस सीमा जगते जानाद के. अगर प्रभुपाद नहीं प्रकट होते तो हमें कौन भक्ति के बारे में बताता. याद रखो, प्रभुपाद का ग्रेटेस्ट गिफ्ट पूरी दुनिया को निष्काम भक्ति है, निष्काम सेवा. इसको बदलो नहीं. निष्काम सेवा को सकाम सेवा मत करो तो हम अपना मिशन जो है लाइफ का वो अकम्पलिश नहीं कर पाएंगे, हमें भगवान नहीं मिल पाएंगे. भगवान को पाने के लिए निष्काम भक्ति, यही भागवताम में भी कहा है, सबे पुंसो परो धर्मो यतो भक्तिर अधोक्षजे अहैतुकी अप्रतिहता ययात्मा सुप्रसिद्धति। डिवोशन सर्विस टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड शुड बी अनमोटिवेटेड एंड अनइंटरप्टेड। तो निष्काम भक्ति का प्रचार करो, ये प्रभुपाद जी का गिफ्ट है, एक उपहार है पूरी दुनिया को। हम कंडीशन सोल प्रभुपाद जी की बातों को बदल देते हैं, कैसे? देखो एक बात याद रखो, प्रभुपाद कृपा से हम सब ने एक बहुत बड़ी परीक्षा में बैठना है, मुझे भी बैठना है, आपको भी बैठना है, सबको बैठना है। वो परीक्षा इस दुनिया से जाने की। अगर हम कृष्णा कॉन्शियस जीवन काल में नहीं हुए तो अंत में फिर भगवान का नाम नहीं ले पाएंगे। अंत काल में वही आएगा सामने जो जीवन काल में किया होगा। प्रभुपाद जी ने महाराजा भरत का उदाहरण दिया है। महाराजा भरत सब कुछ छोड़ के, दुनिया का राज छोड़ के जंगल में चले गए, गंडकी नदी के किनारे रहने लगे और एक हिरण से अटैच हो गए। हिरण का बच्चा सब जानते हैं कथा। तो अगला, जब देखो समय और समुद्र की लहर किसी का इंतजार नहीं करते, टाइम एंड टाइड्स वेट्स फॉर नो वन, महाराजा भरत का आखिरी समय आ गया। देखो इतना त्याग उनका, बजाय इसके कि वो कृष्ण का सिमरन करते, हरि सिमरन करते, हिरण का सिमरन कर रहे थे आखिरी समय में। वो हिरण जो था बिना मांग के था, मैंने उसका चितना ध्यान नहीं किया, पता नहीं कहाँ चला गया, हरि का उसी हालत में शरीर छूट गया उनका, और अगला जन्म उनको हिरण का लेना पड़ा। तो ये बड़ा रिस्की है, बहुत रिस्क है। तो इस रिस्क से हम लोगों ने बचना है। प्रभुपाद कृपा से जो भक्ति प्रभुपाद ने दी है उसको जीवन में लाना है और भक्ति करनी है, भक्ति का प्रचार करना है, बचना है और बचाना है। इन्हीं शब्दों के साथ आप सब पुणे निवासी डिबूटियों का बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद। हरे कृष्णा, जय श्रील प्रभुपाद।
हरे कृष्णा, ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद। दिस इज द मोस्ट वंडरफुल ओकेजन, द यास पूजा, द अपीयरेंस डे ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद। Abba is an amazing, amazing personality. It's very nicely described in the light of the Bhagavat. There are waterfalls flowing from the hills of the forest, but sometimes water does not flow from them. So the waterfalls are not like ordinary rainfall. They are compared to great reformers who speak or do not speak as the time requires. So we see the prophet can be completely silent, or he can go on speaking for hours. He is truly a great, great reformer. And he ordered us also become great reformers. He told us in Los Angeles an amazing conversation on the beach on December 11th, 1973. He said, "You should utilize the favor of God and be yourself perfect. Be a leader of the whole world." Wow, what an order. Prophet orders to become the world leaders. We have to preach in such a way that the leaders of the world will come to us for guidance, how to run their countries, their corporations, etc., in a way that's in harmony with Prabhupada's teachings. This is the position of purity we have to come to. Just like it's stated in the Upadeshamrita, Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam Shiva Vegam Mudaro Pasta Vegam Etan Vetan Yo Vishaheta Dera Sravam Pimam Pritipim Shishyat. One who controls mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals can lead the whole world out of chaos. So this is the position we have to come to. This is our real offering we should make to Prabhupada. That Prabhupada, now we have made the whole world Krishna conscious. So it seems like an impossible task, doesn't it? What did Prabhupada say? Impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. So possible or impossible, we don't care. We make the endeavor, you see. We make the endeavor. Personally, I'm so much determined that actually we can carry out Prabhupada's order to make the whole world Krishna conscious that I'm begging Krishna to let me take birth after birth after birth until this whole world becomes Krishna conscious. I want to be able to go back to Godhead and say, Prabhupada, we've done it. Your movement has now made the whole world Krishna conscious. I'd like to give Prabhupada that report. So I'm hoping I can stay in this cycle of birth and death how many lifetimes it takes until I can give Prabhupada that report, the whole world has now become Krishna conscious. I mean, people are suffering like anything. It's a horrible nightmare. This actual situation we're in now, the coronavirus and all the chaos, and the riots and the killing and the explosions and all the things going on, this is actually a special mercy of Krishna. This is the most opportune time I've ever seen for preaching Krishna consciousness to give people the actual solution of how the whole world can be happy. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarvabhutanam gatvamam shantam ritsati. Krishna tells that one who knows me is the one who owns everything, the one who enjoys everything, and who is the best friend of all living beings, and that person can have peace. So we need to convince the entire world population to take up the peace formula of Krishna. There's no reason for all this hellish suffering going on. It's needless. We can give these people the opportunity how to become completely happy, how to be completely free from all anxieties. We just have to become very pure ourselves. As Prabhupada told me in that letter, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. So we have to come to that position of Shuddha Bhakti. We're absolutely qualified to see Krishna face to face. Premanjana Chadita Bhakti Valochanena Santak Sadaivra Hidayeshu Valokayanti Yang Shama Shundarama Chintya Ganasvarupam Govinda Madhipurasham Tamam Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is Shama Sundar, Krishna himself, with inconceivable, innumerable attributes, whom the pure devotees see in their heart of hearts with the eye of devotion tinged with the salve of love. Prabhupada says not only do they see Krishna within, they see him externally as well. So let us train ourselves, just like Prabhupada told us in the first lecture I attended in San Francisco. He says, you are all seeing God because Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the light of the moon. Every time you see the sunshine, you can think, ah, the light of the sun is Krishna. Here is Krishna. But the light of the moon is Krishna. So in this way, we have to learn how to keep that in mind, always tuned in to Krishna, so that we become more and more purified, more and more empowered to do our duty to lead the world out of chaos. So don't be miserable. You know what the cause of being miserable is? It's being a miser. Miser means miserable. Miser means you want to be the enjoyer instead of the servant. So instead of trying to be the enjoyers, we should always think how I can please Srila Prabhupada, how I can please my spiritual master, how I can please Krishna, how I can please the Vaishnavas, always in the mood of serving, 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 serving. And this way we become qualified to actually become the powerful world leaders that Prabhupada wants us to be. So let us do that now. Let us become qualified to become pure devotees of Krishna and lead the whole world out of chaos. And this will be the best Vyasa Puja homage we can ever make to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Guru Premanandi Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Abhirbhava Mahotsava ki jai. So I'm very happy to be able to speak something today to the wonderful audience of whatever audience you're including in this. The devotees, friends of Krishna, whoever may be watching on this most auspicious day of Srila Prabhupada's appearance. I met the devotees in 1971 in the university, but they were just traveling through, and I couldn't find them again. I was drafted into the army. Then I found a Bhagavad Gita right at the end of 1973. I began practicing. But it wasn't until I got out of the army that I had the opportunity, because while I was in the army, I couldn't go anywhere where Srila Prabhupada was. And so in 1975, I was out of the army, and my temple president said, please come with me to India and you can be initiated. So we went to Mayapur, and because I was with him, some of the older temple presidents and their assistants were allowed to stay on the balcony on Srila Prabhupada's floor. So I stayed there, and I think the day after, 2 days after we arrived, Pushta Krishna Swami came out and said, does anyone know how to type? I said, yes, I know. He said, come, I want you to type some things for Srila Prabhupada. I said, oh, wonderful. And he put me, he placed me right, almost right outside, just a little bit, right out of the perimeter or the line where you couldn't go so you didn't bother Srila Prabhupada. And then I made friends with the guard who was at that time Brahmananda Swami on that side of the Prabhupada's room. So he allowed me to go and look into the window. And of course, I was very fortunate to type up the sannyas mantras of all the devotees that took sannyas and other things. Not so much Prabhupada's letters, but other things, kind of general things pertaining to the Mayapur meeting. And so every day I got the opportunity to see Srila Prabhupada preaching to his leaders, because almost everybody that was in there were GBCs, sannyasis, or senior temple presidents, and of course he would see different devotees. And so I was observing how Srila Prabhupada would take prasadam and he would lift it up and look at it. At least, I don't know if he did that all the time, but the times that I saw him, he would meditate. I could see he was meditating on Krishna, not like many of us who are thinking about how good does this taste. And then he would kind of throw it into his mouth. Of course, sometimes he would just take regularly, but I just noticed how he would always meditate and how he would preach to the leaders and how he would, with devotees who are a little more sentimental, Prabhupada would be like a loving father. With those who were more in the category of doers and shakers, getting things done, Prabhupada would chastise them. And I saw all kinds of different rasas or relationships that Srila Prabhupada had with so many different devotees. And then I asked the servant if I could speak with Srila Prabhupada. And he said, no, actually, Prabhupada is not speaking with most devotees. I was obviously a very young devotee. I wasn't even initiated at that point. And but then finally, one day he said, if you want, you can speak with Srila Prabhupada. Up to that point, I had like in my mind, like 25 questions if I ever got the opportunity. But when I walked in and offered obeisances, then I couldn't think of anything. And so I just kind of sat there, and Prabhupada said, so what is your service? I said, Sankirtan, Srila Prabhupada. He said, so you do that the rest of your life. That was my interaction. But then, of course, I heard Srila Prabhupada's class every day. The classes were about Prahlad Maharaj and prayers of Prahlad Maharaj. So wonderful classes by Srila Prabhupada. And then we went to Vrindavan, because at that time it was the Mayapur Vrindavan festival. So, of course, that was my initiation. And unfortunately, when I arrived in Vrindavan, I got amoebic dysentery. So I was so bad, I couldn't even control having to pass water and stool. Sometimes I did it in my sleeping bag and I had to wash everything. I was so weak, I couldn't walk. So my temple president, the day of the initiation, I was so weak, I couldn't even stand up. And he said, well, maybe we'll have to cancel. I said, no, 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 no way. And I just prayed to Krishna, please allow me to get up. So I did. I got up. I went to the bathroom as many times as I could. And of course, there were many devotees being initiated. So I was hoping, I hope that I could make it through this. And then I was waiting, and Prabhupada would ask everybody, so what are the four principles? And I was thinking, you know, I was very nervous. I went over the four principles. And then the devotee before me, Prabhupada said, what are the 10 offenses? I go, oh my God. I can't even remember the four principles, what to speak of the 10 offenses. So then after that, Prabhupada called me, and of course I came up, and he said, I was sweating, and Prabhupada said, what are the four principles? I was so relieved, and I said them, and then Prabhupada gave me my name, which I didn't even hear. I couldn't understand it. I was like probably beet red from my situation of just being so nervous. And then I got my name afterwards. And then the last opportunity I had to be with Srila Prabhupada was after the Vrindavan festival. Srila Prabhupada went to Delhi, and my temple president went, and I went with him. And I just remember we went to a couple programs, but one program in particular, there were two things that happened in Delhi. One, we were all, after we took prasadam, then the cows would come and put their heads over the wall of the house. That was the house in Greater Kailash. And then we would give, you know, we would take prasadam and then give the rest to the cows. And Srila Prabhupada called us and he said that you don't give your remnants to your mother. You feed your mother. And so from that time on, we would wait for the cows, give them something, you know, before we ate, and then we would take prasad. And anyway, then I remember at one person's house, we did a program, and Prabhupada said, there was a faucet dripping. Prabhupada said, so stop that. The devotee tried, and he said, anyway, Prabhupada, it's not our water. Prabhupada said, it is Krishna's water. So just to see the consciousness of Srila Prabhupada. And one more thing that I forgot. When we were in Vrindavan, of course, I was among the foolish devotees. Of course, I could give the excuse I was very young and there were very senior devotees there. And we were swimming in Radha Kund, and not myself, but some of the other devotees were having fights, like, you know, play flights and fights in the water, where one devotee would be in the water and another devotee on his shoulders. When Prabhupada heard about this, he called us in and said we were offenders to the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani. Very severe chastisement. And Prabhupada said, you should not swim in Radha Kund. Radha Kund is the most sacred. And, you know, we were all like trembling, like, practically, that we committed the greatest offense. And Prabhupada said, anyway, you do not know, and she is very merciful. She will forgive you. So we were all relieved. But from that point on, when I go to Radha Kund, I just put a few drops on my head. Always also thinking of Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who would never let his feet touch the Ganga. But anyway, that was basically the extent of my personal association with Srila Prabhupada. And I pray that all of you have a very meaningful and wonderful day remembering our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and immersing ourselves in remembering his teachings and instructions so that we can carry on his movement for time immemorial. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dai Gaur Premanand.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I'd like to read you our offering for this year's Vyasa Puja. Jai Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutane. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamane. Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharane. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Praskatade Satane. This is from Vishakha Devi, my wife and myself. Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our humble obeisances. All glories to you. Since your disappearance, the world has seen many natural calamities, devastating tsunamis and earthquakes, huge floods and widespread droughts, forest fires, tornadoes, hurricanes, avalanches. These disasters have been confined to nations or areas within those nations. However, now we're seeing something unprecedented in our lifetime. The new coronavirus, a calamity that's affecting the entire world. Collectively, humankind has prodigious intelligence and has made great strides in all areas of its endeavors. Yet from your teachings, we know that these natural calamities are a stark and inescapable reminder that we are insignificant, weak, vulnerable beings in the face of Krishna's material energy. You have taught us that his material energy is duratya, very difficult to overcome. Try as we might, in the end we cannot control material nature. It is more powerful than us. We are controlled by it. The basis of all true knowledge is humility, and as we think soberly about our current international crisis, we seek to be truly and deeply humble. We are small, and God is great. He is our shelter, our solace, and ultimately our only protector. Thank you over and over for giving us this clear and unambiguous knowledge. Without it, we would now be overwhelmed by anxiety with no shelter. We're trying to take the opportunity of this pandemic to come closer to Krishna by hearing about, chanting about, and remembering him. Regardless of the terrible dangers the material energy presents, those who seek your shelter and protection will, without a doubt, attain it and also fully experience the shelter and protection of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, your servants Yadavar Das and Vishakha Das. I'd also like to read a few of the reviews from the Hare Krishna movie. I've been collecting those actually for some time now. And these are mostly from outsiders, not devotees. So very interesting to hear and wonderful to hear them, how they're affected by the presence of Srila Prabhupada. So here's one. Prabhupada is the most powerful saint in the world. After watching this film, I ended up reading many books written by Srila Prabhupada. And now my life is full of bliss and happiness. Another one. It was one of the most deeply spiritual documentaries I've ever watched. Krishna himself would give this documentary 2 thumbs up. No one is more powerful personality in the history of modern times. No other spiritual leader brought such a change. Even though many others have a following, they can't compare with Prabhupada. Really, he is the greatest of all philosophers, the greatest of all revolutionaries, the greatest of all leaders. Thank you with all my heart for this wonderful gift. The film is very touching, giving another aspect of Prabhupada's character that we did not find in his books. This movie made my heart float to the surface of a dark ocean where it was captured for so long, and to bask in the light of this beautiful, merciful person, Srila Prabhupada. Another one. Thank you, coronavirus. Due to you, we got to know about this beautiful movie. This is from, actually, I don't have names, but they're from ladies, men, and even very young people. I had tears seeing Prabhupada leave his body, but just right after, during the credits, I saw his legacy, and my tears transformed into tears of happiness. Thank you all. Hare Krishna. Only Hollywood can do this, not our Bollywood. Sorry, only Hollywood can do this. Our Bollywood is busy in stupidity. Not completely, but for a large part. This is not a movie you watch for entertainment. This is a movie you watch for transformation. Love to the Swami from Saudi Arabia. Another one. Srila Prabhupada deserves a Nobel Peace Prize for starting the Hare Krishna movement to alleviate people from their suffering. ISKCON simply spreads love, knowledge, and unites people from varied backgrounds, irrespective of their race, nationality, gender, caste, wealth, etc. The documentary Hare Krishna is not a sectarian presentation or a subtle attempt at proselytization. For one who is truly broad-minded and on a lookout for the grand unifying principle, the search ends here. A pragmatic panacea for a desperate world. Magnificent movie. Thank you for this gift of infinite grace and eternal wisdom. Today I discovered on my shelf the gift I received 2 years ago from a person who offered me a book, Krishna, Volume 2. I feel now that I am holding a great treasure in my hands. So thank you very much, dear devotees.
Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharane. Nirvasesa Sunyavadi Paskyata Desha Tarane. My dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to your divine grace. Of your 7 purposes of ISKCON, the 3rd one is to bring the members of society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus developing the idea within the members and humanity at large that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, members of your society are not together, but separated from each other, from their friends, from their extended families, from their work or school, and from their dearmost temple. Yet through your instructions and by your mercy, we're still trying to come nearer to the prime entity, Krishna, and develop the idea that each soul is part of the quality of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada, what an unlikely past 6 months it's been. The insidious COVID virus upended the world and made your formerly bustling temples into isolated monasteries. The stunningly beautiful deities have been wonderfully cared for by resident devotees, while those of us confined to our homes have participated in temple programs over the internet. Certainly, the internet's saving grace. Despite these extreme circumstances, the many enthusiastic Vaishnavas throughout the world, whose hearts reside in your temples, have remained steadfast in their dedication to serving you. Srila Prabhupada, we are sheltered by your instructions. Personally, I feel particularly grateful for the quintessential blessing of devotee company, even online, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, and as always, your books. Somehow or other, we are serving at this temple and temples throughout the world only to please you, as you preached with your life in our humble and insufficient way, we want to preach with ours. As your mission is to live and teach Krishna consciousness, so is ours. Srila Prabhupada, you write, when one becomes serious to follow the mission of the spiritual master, his resolution is tantamount to seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If we become serious to follow your mission, Srila Prabhupada, then perhaps our resolution will also allow us to see you. In the words of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Boshe Che Sangera Ase, I have sat down here in the hope of having your company. I know of nothing greater to hope for. Your servant, Vishakhadasa.
Hare Krishna. My name is Anutama Das, and I'm serving in Washington, D.C. I'm the Minister of Communications for ISKCON, and I'm very pleased to be able to share my offering for Srila Prabhupada this year on his Vyasa Puja Day. My offering is actually published in the GBC Vyasa Puja book in its entirety, but because it's a little long, I will read excerpts of it for you today. First of all, I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees. Vanchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sundabhyascha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Dear Srila Prabhupada, this year, 2020, is the 50th anniversary of your founding of the Governing Body Commission, the GBC. This milestone inspires me to consider the importance of this gift and its role in your transcendental plans. It was 50 years ago, on July 28, 1970, that your divine grace created the Governing Body Commission, or GBC. Foreseeing the global expansion of your fledgling society, you created the GBC to help manage and protect the worldwide organization, to free your time for writing, and to look after the well-being of your devotees and temples. You expected your GBC members to travel, to preach, to supervise and uphold ISKCON's standards. You also planned for the GBC to continue to manage the affairs of the society, as you call it, after your departure. Here's a quote from a letter to Rupanuga. I have formed this GBC for that purpose, to keep the devotional standards at the highest level and at the same time to manage a worldwide organization. Consultation and cooperation were to be the means of governance. In the future, there was not to be a single leader of ISKCON who set spiritual or secular policy. Instead, you would always be ISKCON's founder, Acharya, teacher, and standard bearer. A letter to Bali Mardan. The 12 GBC members are being trained up strictly under my guidance so that they will protect the interests of the society very, very carefully. All our properties should be well protected, and I think that in every document, my name as founder Acharya should be mentioned. You affirmed in your will that the GBC was to be the, quote, ultimate managing authority of the entire International Society for Krishna Consciousness, end quote. You knew it was essential for your youthful ISKCON leaders to also remember who's the real manager, Sri Krishna. You also knew and you experienced firsthand that the GBC would make mistakes. You warned the GBC to be careful to uphold Vaishnav standards while respecting other seniors and other ISKCON leaders. In training the GBC, you were firm, yet also forgiving. Here's a letter to Tamal Krishna. I am very glad that you have admitted about the GBC members not appropriately discharging their duty. I do not mind this discrepancy, but you should be alert. You and all the GBC members, people have respect for our movement. Now it is time for the GBC members to be very, very careful so that people may not point out any black spot in the behavior of our society. I was present personally in 1976 in Mayapur when the GBC overstepped its boundaries. By the influence of a few powerful sannyasis and a zealous enthusiasm to have temples filled exclusively with brahmacharis and sannyasis, the GBC passed a resolution that all women and married men must move out of the temples. When this came to your attention, Srila Prabhupada, and after the temple presidents around the world complained, you overturned the decision. When errors were made and human frailties were detected within the GBC body, you made corrections, gave additional instructions, and continued to empower the GBC to lead and advance the mission of Lord Chaitanya. And since your departure, Srila Prabhupada, under your continued leadership and the guidance of the GBC, ISKCON has flourished. We now have over 600 temples, 100 vegetarian restaurants, 70 farms and eco-villages, and more than 550 million of your books have been distributed. More than 100,000 devotees have taken Vaishnava initiation. The TOVP temple is rising in Mayapur. ISKCON's contributions have been honored by governments and the United Nations. Vaishnava colleges have opened, on and on. Your movement is now an international society. And not surprisingly, there have been challenges as well. Even when you were physically present with us, Srila Prabhupada, and since then, misguided governments, parents, and others have accused ISKCON of being a cult or a sect. In some countries, there have been drawn-out court battles, media attacks, and official inquiries as to whether ISKCON is a positive or negative force in society. In the mid-1980s, ISKCON faced the demise of many of the leaders who had taken up the role of initiating spiritual masters. Faced with that crisis, tremendous forces were unleashed that threatened to splinter your movement. In the 1990s, ISKCON became aware of a widespread abuse of children in our schools and communities during the 1970s and 1980s. With heartbreak, we learned that our children, families, and communities were injured and scarred. Yet despite these calamities and a multitude of lesser challenges, your society, Srila Prabhupada, has continued. We have suffered for our mistakes and the disturbances caused by others. Yet in each instance, ISKCON has become more introspective, corrected itself, purged itself where necessary, and continued. We have endured because of your grace, Srila Prabhupada, your inspiration, your guidance, your purity, your faith in us, and the faith you gave us in Krishna. And to a large extent, because of the wisdom you showed in creating a governing body commission. Creating the GBC, despite its frailties and human limitations, was one of the greatest gifts you gave us. When unified action was needed, because of your foresight, a system of cooperative decision-making was in place. In each and every one of the above-mentioned crippling issues, ISKCON benefited from a GBC that could lead us. Despite the historical fact that most religious communities crumble after the passing of their founder, ISKCON has held together while the GBC led us through court battles, media attacks, deviant philosophies, wayward gurus, splinter groups, and a myriad other challenges, both internal and external. By your blessings, the GBC has also made a multitude of positive contributions to strengthen and grow ISKCON. There are now standards for awarding sannyas, courses for initiating gurus and prospective disciples. There's a Shastric Advisory Council that guides the GBC on philosophical issues, a GBC college to train future leaders, a child protection office to aid in protecting children, a sabha to broaden insights and provide checks and balances on the GBC. Today, ISKCON is white, black, brown, and every color under the rainbow. We are growing in India, in the Americas, Europe, Russia, Africa, Asia, Australasia, and every place in between. We're no longer just ashrams full of young people. We're young and we're grandparents. We're men, women, and children. We're renunciates and we're corporate leaders. Our growth is far-ranging, and so too sometimes are our opinions, allegiances, and affections. Living through the pain of watching Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mission splinter, you made it a priority in 1970, before even your beloved BBT was created, to form the GBC. You knew that ISKCON would need an ultimate managing authority to bind us together. Letter to Rupanuga. Wherever there are individuals, there is bound to be differences of opinion. Therefore, for this purpose, I have formulated the GBC. Srila Prabhupada, marking the 50th anniversary of the GBC, we are reminded that the GBC was and remains an integral part of your vision and your mission. In the midst of an ever-changing material world, the GBC system you created holds us together, provides global vision, seeks harmony when we disagree, corrects us when we swerve, and reminds us of our central allegiance to you and to ISKCON. In the future, more opportunities and challenges will face ISKCON. Yet, if we remain faithful to your vision, your teachings, your central and preeminent position within ISKCON, and if we strive to work cooperatively under the guidance of your GBC, Lord Chaitanya's movement will remain strong. One last quote from a letter to Madhu Sevita. So you GBC men are my selected few for ensuring that what I am doing will be carried on very nicely for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now you must, all my senior disciples and leaders, become very, very much aware of your grave responsibility to the human society for delivering them from the clutches of catastrophe, and be always cool-headed and utilize every moment in the best manner possible. Thank you, Srila Prabhupada, for the gift of the GBC and for all the many, many gifts you have bestowed upon us, aspiring to be your eternal servant, Anuttama Das. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Hare Krishna. To my dear friends at ISKCON Pune, I'm happy to celebrate with you the 124th anniversary of the appearance of Srila Prabhupada. Here is my Vyas Puja offering to him. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nivishesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshitarne. Dear Srila Prabhupada, as we shelter in place due to the coronavirus, we must bow at your feet again and again and thank you for the unprecedented shelter you have given us. You have created our good fortune and good fortune for a misguided world that without you remained baffled. Just as Hanuman, the great servant of Lord Ram, slipped into Lanka, the kingdom of Ravana, unnoticed in a tiny form, and set the whole city on fire while the evil Ravana prepared to wage war. In the same way, you entered New York City, the kingdom of Kali, anonymously, as a penniless, elderly Indian Swami, as our government waged war on Vietnam, and we, the youth, waged war on our government. We wanted to create a revolution against the system, but the revolution you sparked, full of transcendental words directed toward bringing about a revolution in the impious lives of this world's misguided civilization, has changed the course of human history beyond anything we could have fought for or even imagined. Without the shelter of your compassion and your sheltering words of wisdom, we, the youth of the 1960s counterculture, were perhaps the most impious and misdirected the world had ever seen. The revolution you sparked has been noted by renowned scholars as well. Professor A.L. Basham writes in his A Cultural History of India, this is what he says, a new aspect of the counterattack from the East is the importation not only of the mystical Gnosis of India, but also her simple faith. This is chiefly the work of what is generally called the Hare Krishna movement, founded by Swami Prabhupada. This society now has branches in many of the larger cities of the West, and its adherents follow the rituals of the devotional Vaishnavism of the Chaitanya sect of Bengal. The movement is historically very significant, for now, for the first time since the days of the Roman Empire, an Asian religion is being openly practiced by people of Western origin in the streets of Western cities. The simple faith Dr. Bashan refers to is the revolutionary faith you bestowed upon us and upon the world, that we are immutable spirit beyond this world of matter, and existing eternally as Krishna's loving servants. Under your shelter, inspired by the pinnacle of your example, the deathless nectar of Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes is being tasted and shared all over the world. Under your shelter, the people of the world are experiencing a revolution in consciousness, realizing the purpose of life, ending their suffering, and reawakening joy in consciousness of Krishna. You warned us that this world is a place of danger. Now, at a time when the whole world is sheltering in fear of the coronavirus, we hold your lotus feet to our hearts as our only real and fearless shelter. Aspiring to be an eternal servant of your revolutionary and divine instructions, I'm your servant, Rukmini Devi Dasi. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, my name is Sureshwar Das, and for Janmashtami Vyasa Puja, I would like to share with you a couple of Prabhupada pastimes at New Vrindavan, 1972, where I witnessed his pastimes for the Janmashtami Vyasa Puja festival. So we were fasting all day, of course, with Srila Prabhupada, and working too at New Vrindavan. And as night fell, we followed Srila Prabhupada into the little farmhouse temple at Bahulaban, which was one of the farms at New Vrindavan, where Radha Vrindavan Chandra were installed in this little temple for the midnight aarti. So Prabhupada is taking darshan of Sri Sri Radha Vrindavan Chandra, and 12:30, the conch blows, and we're all expecting to break the fast with Srila Prabhupada. But Prabhupada says, so there is Krishna book, because Prabhupada wants to hear about the appearance of Lord Krishna. And we, of course, we just want to break the fast. But Prabhupada called for Krishna book, and then he had the sannyasis who were visiting take turns passing the book around, to hear about the advent of Lord Krishna and prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb and the birth of Lord Krishna. So 12:30 it starts, Prabhupada sitting on his Vyasasana, and he's sitting up very straight and alert. And we're all drowsy and weary, but we're game, we're hanging in there. And the sannyasis start reading. Birth of Lord Krishna, 12:45, and we're all getting very weary, and the danda starts swaying, and 1 o'clock, and now it's prayers by the demigods for Lord Krishna in the womb. And Prabhupada, he's very expressive every time he hears about an event in the pastime. He's getting very expressive with his face, and he's sitting up straight, and he's just relishing with his transcendental senses Krishna's appearance. 1:15, 1:30, and now we're all really getting weary, and we're starting to just completely nod out. And the dandas start falling to the floor. And by 1:45, Prabhupada, sometimes his eyes are closed, but he opens his eyes at 1:45 as he's relishing the pastime. And he surveys the wreckage of us trying to follow him hearing. And we're all completely on the ropes. We're just sprawled out, or the dandas are straight on the floor, immobile. So at 1:45, he says, his divine grace says, so now Mother Yashoda has taken Krishna on her lap, but I think you are all getting very tired and impatient, so take prasad. So of course that woke us up. And that was Prabhupada. He's not tired at all. He's getting more and more enlivened by hearing. Now the next day is Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa Puja. And above Bahulaban, at the highest point on that farm, there was a hilltop where the devotees had erected a pavilion, a makeshift pavilion, to receive Prabhupada and all the guests, the VIP guests that Prabhupada told us we should invite. Because the movement was about 6 years old then, 1972. And all the opinion makers, you know, the journalists and the politicians and the scholars, they're all wondering who's responsible for this Hare Krishna we see in all the street corners. So Prabhupada told us, so invite them to New Vrindavan. We'll have Bhagavad Dharma discourses. And sandwiched in between the discourses was Janmashtami and Vyasa Puja, where Prabhupada would discourse and explain to the guests, especially, the meaning of the guru, the spiritual master. So as the sun rose and burned off the fog that always shrouded the valleys around New Vrindavan, the sun approached the meridian, high noon, and we're all up at the pavilion waiting for Prabhupada to arrive. And our legendary godbrother, Kirtaniya Vishnu Janaswami, is leading us in the kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So we're just in heaven, following Vishnu Jan's lead. And then Prabhupada shows up behind the pavilion. He steps out of Hayagriva Prabhu's little yellow Volkswagen, comes behind his makeshift Vyasasana, all decorated with leaves and flowers and scarlet embroidery, hops on. He takes kartals, and he also joins us in following Vishnu Jan's lead. And then what happens is Prabhupada steals the lead from Vishnu Jan. After Vishnu Jan sang and then we responded, then Vishnu Jan was all getting ready to jump in again. And all of a sudden we hear, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And as soon as we heard Prabhupada lead, we went absolutely mad. We went crazy. Involuntarily, we just stood up and we started moving toward Prabhupada, because Prabhupada was carrying Krishna so strongly and so sweetly in his heart. He's giving us a glimpse of the spiritual world. He and the deities on the stage, Sri Sri Radha Damodar and Jagannath Baladev, Subhadra Maharani, they're just opening the spiritual world and flooding the place with Krishna Prema. And we didn't know what hit us. All we knew is that we were being swept up in this tidal wave of spiritual energy, and we all just moved toward Prabhupada, trying to follow him, but basically crying, weeping and singing, and then finally Prabhupada, and we just dropped to the grass, swooning with that taste of the spiritual world Srila Prabhupada had given us. Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Amadkinatidamdasya janam chanam sadakaya shaksun miditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I affirm my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, Esi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, for I was in the darkness of ignorance. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutali Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesa Shunyavadi Ashatya Deshatarini. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My dear Srila Prabhupada, on this occasion of your Vyasa Puja in Bimini, Mayapur, your castle in France, I just wish to be today, I would like to be a kavi, a poet, and to have thousands of mouths to glorify you unlimited qualities. Dear Srila Prabhupada, today I would like to reflect and to praise your fearlessness, your bravery, your complete dedication to Lord Chaitanya's mission, to the order of your spiritual master, Estivain Grace, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And also, remember your mood of chivalry. I would like to recall, in the company of the devotees of Pune, I would like to recall an event that showed your mood of chivalry. It was thought that you and our dear Yamuna Devi. It actually took place on December the 14th of the year 69. That was the day you installed your beloved Sri Sri Radha Landanishvara in Bury Place Temple. It was actually a big success. Lord Krishna had finally come to become the grand lord and master of London. So you call them Sri Sri Radha Landanishvara. At the time, the day was fixed, and your disciple, Shyamasundar Prabhu, had been working days and nights to complete the temple room. It was a very mystical temple room. The carpet was dark purple, and he had brought red oak pieces of wood from America to make a curved ceiling. He wanted it to look like a Buddhist cave. And the result was really astonishing. Very, very mystical. So the installation was ready to take place. And we have pictures how you bathe the beautiful deities. Yamuna Devi was actually assisting you. Shyamasundar was so tired. The night before, on the 13th, he had practically completed the whole temple room. But there was just one detail he didn't finish, he didn't complete. It was just to fix completely with very strong, things to complete fixing some heavy columns of the temple room. In the small temple room, we had four columns. Two columns were actually going to support a large canopy above the deities. And two taller columns were supporting long shelves above the deities where their lordship, Sri Jagannath, Sri Baladev and dear Sri Subhadra were going to be worshipped. So there was just a small thing to complete, but on the 13th, Shyamasundar Prabhu was so exhausted that he fainted out of tiredness. So the ceremony took place. You gave a bath to the deities very lovingly. And then you ask two strong boys to actually put the deities on the altar. So they did. And then with Yamuna was going to dress the deities. So four of you went to the little temple room to finish the last preparation, dressing, and the canopy was on. But one of the boys, it was so small, his elbow just knocked one of the lower columns that were supporting the canopy. And all of a sudden, with that elbow knocking the column, the column started to tremble. And Yamuna Devi just froze. A big catastrophe was going to take place. If the canopy was going to fall, the deities would be crushed. She froze. She couldn't move. All of a sudden, Prabhupada, like a young man, Prabhupada, you just jumped on the altar. With your left hand, you just brushed away all the paraphernalia on the altar marble steps. And you just came on the altar. And with your right hand, you just took Srimati Radharani's hand. And with your other hand, you were kind of holding the column or the canopy. And Yamuna Devi, at the time, just saw something very amazing. Your face changed. You had, of course, your beautiful face, golden face that you know. But it was the face and the expression of a young man. You were so strong, holding you alone, all that column, that canopy, base, and at the same time holding Srimati Radharani's hand in a very protective mood, looking very lovingly at your most dear deities, Sri Sri Radha and Nishvara. So, at the time, Yamuna Devi just saw that expression on your face, that expression of protecting the Lord, that expression of chivalry, very noble. And she realized, she says, that expression doesn't belong to the material world. That expression comes from above. And this is where I want to go. At the same time, the boys came and helped you. And they took away the canopy, they took away the columns. And a great tragedy had been just avoided because of your quick, powerful reaction and your such a sincere and powerful desire to protect the Lord. So when the boys took the columns out of the temple room, there was a BBC crew. BBC is actually the national English television. And nobody noticed the drama that was actually taking place. Everybody thought it was actually part of the installation ceremony. So the boys took the canopy, they took the bottom columns, and you looked at Yamuna Devi with a very grave face. You told the boys, "You just go out." And then you told Yamuna Devi, "Quickly, quickly, please, you dress the deities." And you went out. So it was a very intimate, extraordinary moment that showed your bravery, your complete dedication, your fearlessness, and your ability as the most wonderful spiritual leader to react correctly in an emergency. That was only one event of the sort, but during the time you spent with us, we saw so many wonderful acts of bravery and fearlessness, thus fulfilling the name your father gave you, Gaur Mohande gave you, Abhayt Charan, one who is fearless at the lotus feet of the Lord. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. All glories to His divine grace. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Vyas Puja is such an important day for ISKCON, an important day for all of us. And many of us don't realize that We have the same opportunity, no matter who we are, no matter when we were born, to connect with Srila Prabhupada and have an intimate and personal relationship with him. Many, I don't know if you know, but many of his own disciples never met him or had no personal association or very little association, even impersonally, in general, in a class or from a distance. But that didn't inhibit the intimacy of their relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Some of the most intimate relationships were had by the preachers who were in far remote places where Prabhupada never visited, the book distributors who were on the street day in and day out distributing Prabhupada's books, and they all felt very, very close to Prabhupada, and it's no different today. So I know many of you think, as disciples of Prabhupada, we were very fortunate that we had Prabhupada's association. Of course we were. At the same time, you should not think that that association is limited only to us, only to his direct initiated disciples. It's not true. You all have potentially a very, very deep relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And although Srila Prabhupada said to go to his spiritual master, we should not jump over him, we should go through him. It's not the way Prabhupada explained his position to us. Of course, to help us understand Prabhupada, we need the guidance of our gurus, mentors, and so forth. At the same time, Prabhupada has given us his books, conversations, letters, morning walks, which we have direct access to, and he has spoken to us, to our conditioning, to our nature. He's accessible to all of us. Srila Prabhupada is the center of ISKCON and always must remain the center of ISKCON. And of course, we often say that Prabhupada is in the center. And what does that mean? It means that all the gurus are representing him, all the gurus are bringing you, or trying to bring you closer to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is the one from whom we're getting all our mercy, and the gurus are giving his mercy, and by his mercy, he is helping us all become Krishna conscious, and he's helping to take all of us back to Godhead. So we're one movement under the guidance of different gurus, unified around service to Srila Prabhupada, unified around his instructions. And it always must be there. And there's always the danger, as Prabhupada warned us, that we could fragment into sections around a certain ideology or around a certain leader, certain guru, certain empowered devotee. And there can be many empowered devotees, many gurus, all flanking Srila Prabhupada, all looking to Srila Prabhupada, and all pointing to all their followers, this is where we're going. We are all disciples of Srila Prabhupada. So on this day, I just want to emphasize how important it is for us to understand this, how important it is for us to preach this. This is the unifying factor of ISKCON. And without this unifying factor, it's very possible we could fragment. And Prabhupada said many times, if we fragment, we lose our potency. And even if we don't officially fragment, we can internally fragment around different leaders, around different gurus, and that's not what we want. We want to be all at the feet of Srila Prabhupada, our gurus, our prabhus, everyone, the new bhaktas, the seniors. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, go premanandi.